This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
When they come, and they will, they'll come for you.
I have an army.
We have a Hulk. Because if we can't protect the Earth, you can be damn well sure we'll avenge it.
Welcome to the Ultimate Marvel Podcast, episode 13. I have with me Rob Krieger.
Yes. Hello. Thank you.
Hello. Who's an avid comic book collector and also on a couple podcasts he was just telling me about.
I joined Mike Myers and Chris Ivey a couple months ago on the Geek Brunch Retrocast, where we pick a few older comics or movies or TV shows. Got to be at least 10 years old, and we cover those.
Awesome.
So that's been a lot of fun.
Yeah. I don't think I've had either of those guys on here yet. I know Mike. We talk on Slack, on the Slack channel. He's a cool guy.
Yeah. He's the ultimate collector.
Right? Oh, really?
there's nothing he doesn't collect.
Yeah. This is where... Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, and I was actually, if Ronnie had been able to join, I was going to ask, because I think he may be collecting maybe almost as much as Mike, but he's very quiet about it.
Oh, man. Ronnie buys everything. Ronnie reads every comic book.
Yeah.
Watches every show.
Where does he find the time for this?
I don't know.
And then he's doing baseball 24/7.
And then when we do our Iron Fist episode, he hasn't watched any of it. So I something's going on with Ronnie. And this is where I usually make fun of him for, like, being MIA on the podcast as well. But I'll play nice this time, because the truth is I was rushing to do this today because I'm going out of town for a while.
Yeah.
So otherwise we do it when we were free. So it's not Ronnie's fault. But it's fun to pretend like it is.
Yes, he's quite a avid comic book reader himself.
Yeah. And I think with Ronnie, he just got really busy because he took on a new job in baseball. So he's probably not reading as much as he was before.
And how much do you read, Jack?
Oh, man. I'm trying to do the opposite. I've been trying to scale back for a couple of years now because, man, comics is just an expensive hobby.
Very, very expensive, especially for the amount of time each comic book takes to read.
Sure.
You know?
And I'm not an avid comic book collector, but I do have a little bit of a collector in me. Otherwise, I just read stuff online. But man, it just, you know, comic books, it takes a lot of money and they take up a lot of space.
Yeah, they do.
I usually wind up... I stash everything in short boxes, and then after a while, I try to go through them and just give away stuff.
Don't do that.
Well, I mean, I can't, man. I don't have anywhere to put them. I don't want to be one of those. I shouldn't say this because it might be you. It's a lot of my friends who have these enormous rooms just stacked with shelves and shelves of long boxes and short boxes.
I have quite a few in one spare room, but most of them are down in the basement.
Yeah. I don't have a basement. They're all like in a closet. So my wife would divorce me if I got to that point. But
yeah, I'm trying to now scale. This is what I basically did. I was collecting, still a lot, but a reasonable number of comic books at my local comic shop. And finally, I decided that I'd make the switch to get most of them from DCBS.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm going to save almost 50% of what I'm spending, because I got like maybe a 10% discount at the comic shop.
Right.
So I'm like, this is going to be great. And instead, I'm now spending more money than I was before. So I probably tripled how many comic books I bought on a monthly basis.
It's hard because, I mean – as much as you try to cut back, there's always stuff coming out that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So, do you buy a lot of Marvel?
Yeah, I I was pretty much during after New 52 started on the DC side, probably about a year in, finally realized that most of that wasn't stuff that I was enjoying. I was always getting Marvel, but I kind of said, all right, well, I got to collect something because I'm pulling back on almost all DC. I was more DC than Marvel. So at that point, I started buying a lot of DC, Marvel rather, a lot of Marvel that I hadn't bought in years.
Right.
I started picking back up. But even so, now, I'm pretty much all in for Rebirth. I'm still collecting about 30 Marvel titles a month. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah, not too bad.
Seems like a lot of people during New 52 sort of started leaning more towards Marvel. And then when Rebirth started, it's been kind of going back the other way.
Yeah, I've been historically, I've flipped back and forth. When I was youngest, really? I was mostly DC. Then I got a little bit older, you know, and I'm not saying that old, but like teenage years, I started to really appreciate Marvel and then flipped back to DC. And I was pretty much DC all the way through until New 52. And then I went back to Marvel. Now it's pretty much split 50-50.
Yeah. See, now I read a lot of Marvel in the 90s when I got into comics. And then as I got older, I started reading more independent stuff. And I read a little bit of Marvel, but then got sort of back into Marvel. But every time I try to read DC, I couldn't get into it. And I think it was because there was so much, at least the stuff I always try to read, there was so much history and like, I don't want to say flashbacks, but stuff that was dependent on having read stuff earlier that I just never knew what was going on.
And that can be frustrating depending on how that's set up, right? I mean, it could be, I'm just clueless. I have no idea what's happening. I can't enjoy this. Or somebody could write stuff in such a way to be like, oh, that's really interesting. I wish I could learn more about such and such, but it's not dependent on your enjoyment of the current story.
Sure.
And what you're, you know, saying is it sounds like it really, you just couldn't even get into the story. There was so much back history.
Yeah, the back history. Yeah, well, and also there's always like, I mean, some people don't want to admit it, but I think a lot of us have like character bias. Like, I mean, there's certain characters you're going to get more excited about than others. Like Adam Warlock is who got me into comics. So if they put out a Warlock comic right now, I'm going to buy it and I'm going to be looking forward to it no matter who the creative team is.
Absolutely.
And being a lower level character like that, the chances are it's not going to be somebody great. But, you know, with the characters, I may be a little bit more critical. I don't care about.
That totally makes sense. And that's actually one of the reasons why I kind of wanted to join you guys today is that there was, you know, I guess it's if you're a person that's predisposed to kind of, I don't know how to say this, kind of get irritated with Marvel or maybe you're not the biggest Marvel fan, at least currently, or what Marvel's giving those people, I think, quite a few reasons or excuses to give Marvel a hard time.
Right, for sure.
However, one of the things that I did want to say that, because I know you were talking to Martin and Daryl, and I just recently listened to that episode. It was a while back, I think you guys recorded, but I'm so far behind on my podcast.
Daryl's been on the last three episodes.
Okay.
For somebody who is highly critical of Marvel, that was sort of ironic.
Well, yeah, I mean, and I understand where Daryl's coming from
too. Yeah, me too.
Both of us are very longtime fans of Marvel, meaning – I mean, we're talking, you know, with our ages, me and him are, I think, almost exactly the same age.
Right.
I just turned 45, and I think Daryl's 44. I could be wrong, but anyhow, so we're talking like even early 80s.
Yeah.
You know, all the way up. So, I mean, he's looking at, not to put words in his mouth, but, you know, I mean, thinking of like the X-Men from like, you know.
Sure.
82 to 87 and even the Avengers, a lot of these other books. I mean, these are the books that you grew up with. So you're always nostalgic for it. But honestly, some of, especially like, you know, the X-Men, I think that really, really holds up. But my point is that, you know, there's a lot that can be said to nitpick or to just criticize Marvel for doing different things. And they certainly don't always get things right. And I'm not saying that they do, but one thing that they, I think, are doing really, really well, and I really appreciate, is unlike DC, at least currently, they will go out and put out books for characters that, you know, I mean, this isn't going to be a 30 issue run,
right?
It may last 12 issues, it may last less than that, but they let a story be told. And they let these stories, they're quirky stories, and I don't mean they're all the same tone. They're just not mainstream superhero battle stories.
Right.
Whether it's Mockingbird, The Vision,
yeah,
Moon Girl right now.
Oh, man.
What are some other ones? The current Hulk with Jennifer Walters. I mean, she's literally...
We have a listener that's also on our Slack channel that loves Moon Girl. And Ronnie always gives him a hard time because Ronnie's not a Moon Girl fan. But if he's listening, his ears just perked up when you use that as your example.
Well, seriously, I mean, and I understand these books aren't for everyone,
right?
And I think that that's what I'm really, really appreciative with Marvel about. I mean, it's been 5 issues of this Jennifer Walters Hulk.
Right.
I don't know if you've been reading it.
Yep.
I've found it fascinating.
It's very good.
Like full on into the Hulk.
Right.
I mean, the type of stories, and even the last series that she was in by Charles Soule, mm-hmm. That was a very different take on it. Well, maybe not a different take, but it was definitely not a mainstream story. And that was very good. So
right.
I really, really enjoy the fact that they're willing to put out these books. And great, to read Great Lake Avengers.
Yeah.
I mean, that is just like a goofy, silly. I think that it's even ending after issue 7 or 8.
Yeah. So we've talked a lot about that in the past, about how Marvel, for better or worse, Marvel's not sticking to their sort of flagship titles as like DC is right now. I mean, they're Flash, Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman. These are still all their best selling, the titles they're promoting the most. Whereas we don't have Fantastic Four in Marvel. We don't have like a traditional Avengers title. Why do you think that is? And do you think it's a good thing or a bad thing? Because I think, you know, a lot of us older fans want those titles mm-hmm. back.
Well, I mean, it sounds like we're going to be getting a lot of those back as well, from what I understand, towards the end of the mid to end of the year.
Yeah.
With a lot of the generation stuff. But I appreciate a mix. DC, you know, straight out said, you know, especially for Rebirth, we're going back to basics pretty much. We got Batman, Superman, Aquaman, Flash, Wonder Woman, Green Lantern, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's only a handful of smaller heroes that have a title now currently with Rebirth. You know, I absolutely love probably 90% of Rebirth, but I really love the fact that, you know, that Marvel just puts out these smaller titles as options. And I guess I haven't really thought of it much with what you're saying with the other side of it, because honestly, like Mighty Thor, I liked different runs of the old Thor.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely love Jane Foster Thor.
Way
more than
I love everything Jason Aaron does. I don't think he's done anything. I mean, I can't remember a Jason Aaron title of the last couple of years that I haven't liked.
He got me to enjoy Doctor Strange, which is a character that I've never been interested in.
You know what, Doctor Strange? I know everybody loved Doctor Strange. That was one that I wasn't as crazy about. Something about the tone of the book,
sort of comical
feel of it, just wasn't for me.
No. But, you know, I mean, so I don't know. I don't really have a straight up answer. I mean, it sounds like maybe some of the other stuff they're going to come back to. But I think I think for myself, I'm much more of a history type person when it comes to DC. Sort of like what you were talking about with all the, you know, the old references and the history right. from the 40s on up. On the Marvel side, it doesn't bother me as much when they take chances and when they do different things.
Yeah.
So I guess I haven't really missed like having a lot of those flagships. Like I still see, okay, well, we still have Spider-Man, you know, and now it's just recently that, you know, Iron Man is Tony Stark's not right there. I've always been a big time Captain America fan. So I did miss Steve Rogers, when he was, you know, reverted to an old man.
Right.
But you know, he's back and obviously this whole thing is playing out with Secret Empire. Mm-hmm. And so we'll see how that ends up. But, you know, I look forward to that. I think that's going to be interesting.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the places they've missed on and is that like, at least recently, a lot of people don't read some of their best books are these characters that people aren't as familiar with, at least in my opinion, like The Vision, for example. That was one of their highest rated books, but that's not one of their top selling characters.
No.
But then but those books were great, but then the events haven't really hit as much. And everybody's usually going to buy the events. They advertise the crap out of them. And they want those to be their biggest sellers.
Right.
And then like IVX, I thought it was just kind of okay.
I didn't read it, so I couldn't. I do have an Inhuman bias where I tried out when whatever the first one was a few years ago, the Charles Sewell, when they relaunched.
Uncanny? He's been doing Uncanny.
Whatever the first one was recently, like in the past 5 years, I read like 3 or 4 issues. I'm like, I do not like this at all. I haven't read one in
Inhumans. Yeah.
I'm just not a big Inhumans fan.
Yeah. You know, whenever I talk to people that have been Marvel fans for a long time, it seems like the conversation always, X-Men always comes up. Nobody likes Inhumans, but that's what they have the movie rights to. So I think that's why they have to push the. Now here's something though I've been wondering about because do you read Valiant also?
Uh huh. Yep.
Like a lot of Valiant fans were a little bit upset when they were pushing Faith and Generation Zero, that they're pushing these sort of lighter, younger characters. And Marvel, you had mentioned Moon Knight and some other titles. They've been kind of doing that too.
Yep.
I have to think they would not do that unless there was a market for those characters. Now, my circle of comic friend peers don't typically like those books, whether it's Valiant or Marvel, but they must be out there.
You probably don't have a lot of like 20-something-year-old females that you probably are in your comic circle, though, right?
Right. Well, yeah, probably none. Are they out there? Is there that much of a market for people like that?
Yeah,
those demographics.
But it's like you said, why would they keep on publishing, pushing these if there was just no market at all?
Right.
I mean, they're doing this. They made this change for, you know, they already had Ms. Marvel, which I think has definitely been. I don't know that I haven't really paid attention to sales, but I don't know that it's the biggest seller, but I think it had a huge effect.
Yeah. She's been popular.
Very big shift, I guess, in terms of like she was brand new when I went to a Comic-Con up in Toronto, and I mean there was a bunch of girls dressed as her already, and I'm like, my God, it's really having a social effect on certain people, even if this is not top of the sales,
right?
But I remember reading, because they were talking about some of the sales. I read an article, and like Moon Girl, I guess, doesn't do well in sales for single issues, but I guess is critically acclaimed and then also does well in trades. Hmm. They have some sort of deal or something with like Scholastic or something like that. And so it's doing well with that. But it's hard to say. You know, I gotta believe, like you said, like why would they keep pushing it if nobody was buying them?
Right.
But then on the same side, like you said with Valiant, we know that Faith is ending at issue 12,
mm-hmm.
and you know, Gen Zero is already wrapping up, I think, what, next month or something like that?
Yeah.
So Valiant's definitely moving away from it.
Yeah, it's like they tested the waters and now they're circling back.
Yeah, they don't have the exposure that Marvel does either.
So right. For sure.
They might not be able to, if they're alienating or they don't have their diehard fans enjoying a certain
it's more critical
type of book, yeah, they might not be able to sustain it based on, you know, just other people coming yeah. and going.
Now, but the point you just alluded to, though, was that if Valiant's doing that to appease their sort of long-term fans, Marvel isn't. So they're right. kind of upsetting. They might be upsetting their long-term fans, which seems like it relates to the issues like Martin and Daryl have.
But here's my thing, too, is that...
I'm playing devil's advocate, by the way.
What's that?
I'm playing devil's advocate, by the way.
Yeah, no. here's the difference, I think, is that Valiant is publishing as low as 6 titles a month.
Sure, right.
And so if you're only going to publish between 6 and 8 titles a month, and 1 or 2 of them are books that you just don't enjoy,
yeah,
then you're going to start to get a little bit more frustrated mm-hmm. than if Marvel's publishing, whatever, 40, 50, 60 titles a month. And there's 4 or 5 or 6 that you don't like.
Yeah,
that's really not impacting the books that you do like.
Right,
they're just extra titles. We'll just don't buy those extra titles.
Sure.
Now that I think that Daryl, you know, with Daryl and well, I don't know how Martin feels with. I think he was enjoying the Inhumans and stuff, right?
It seemed like he was. We didn't talk about it much when he was on the podcast, but it seems like he was enjoying IVX.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, I understand where Daryl's coming from with, you know, the whole, with the X-Men thing, I'm in the same boat with him. I was kind of in and out of it. I'm a longtime X-Men fan. I don't know if you've heard me talk at all, but I just recently, last month or the month before, bought the last 2 issues that I needed to complete the Uncanny X-Men entire line, run.
Oh, wow.
From 1 all the way through when whatever that last issue was before they relaunched it.
Yeah.
As a new number 1, it was like, whatever, 400 and something. So, you know, I absolutely love the X-Men. I kind of fell away from them for a little bit when they kept relaunching them.
Yeah.
But I'm still following what was going on, and it just kept seeing, you know, when they brought Bendis that brought the young team from the past
right.
into the present and stuff. I kind of want to get back to the basics with that. And that's what I thought kind of X-Men Blue and Gold would be. Now, I haven't read any of those titles yet, but I mean, just hearing about them, it kind of seemed like it was going to be more the same in terms of the characters, but maybe the storytelling is going to be more appealing. But I guess we'll see. Have you read Prime or Gold yet?
I haven't.
No, yeah.
I haven't.
No, me neither.
So I guess, Mike, did you read Extraordinary?
I read the first maybe 14 issues. I finally had to just drop it. I didn't know it was ending.
Yeah.
I was not enjoying that.
Yeah, so that's my concern. Lemire, who's leaving, by the way, I don't know if we've officially said it on the show, but he's leaving Marvel soon. So all these Extraordinary, it hasn't ended yet, has it?
Yeah, the last issue was I think earlier this month or March. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's ending.
Wait for Blue and Gold.
I think Moon Knight, Old Man Logan, and Thanos are going to continue with a different writer.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything yet for anything new for Moon Knight, but I know for sure Old Man Logan's already been solicited for a couple more issues with the new writer, yeah.
So I guess when they announce these new books, it sounds interesting, but if talent's leaving, I still have a little bit of concern because you can't just keep losing. Lemire was one of my favorite writers at Marvel, and now he's gone. So I guess I'm starting to go into some of these books a little bit more hesitantly if I don't know who's writing it.
Now, did you read Extraordinary? Did you enjoy that or?
No, not really. I love Moon Knight. I loved Old Man Logan. Thanos,
I think, was amazing.
Yeah, I thought it was great. Mm-hmm. Thanos has been good to me. It's not like great, but it's sort of been a little bit hit or miss. Mm-hmm. But man, Extraordinary. I don't know what it was. That was his book that I just couldn't get into it. And it's, a lot of people were saying that.
Yeah, it was supposed to kind of be the flagship X-Men book,
right,
at the time too. And I don't know. I went in obviously with great hopes because Jeff Lemire. I enjoy Jeff Lemire. I enjoy all of those individual characters.
Yeah.
It was basically almost like the classic team with, you know, Old Man Logan being Wolverine and then Colossus, Storm, Nightcrawler. I mean, how could you not love it? But
right.
I didn't love it.
Yeah.
I'm like, what is going on here? I love the writer and I love these characters, but it was not a good fit.
Yeah, you know that. I mean, that's going to happen. Nobody's going to even the best writers aren't going to hit every single time. I think the reason some people are a little bit more critical is because the talent's leaving, but also they're printing like 40 books a month. And I think last time I looked, they were printing about 20% more than DC. Mm-hmm. So if you're increasing books but losing talent, it just seems like a recipe for not the best stories.
Yeah. Yeah, I could, I can understand that.
But we'll see. I'm going to keep reading, especially like Thanos is since I'm a big Warlock fan, Thanos was right there with Warlock all throughout the 90s. So that's a title I'm going to read. It doesn't matter what they do. I'm going to read that title no matter how bad it is. So we'll see. You never know. There's new talent popping up. I don't know if you've read any of Rosenberg.
Mm-hmm. Only thing that I read is he did that Civil War Kingpin tie-in, and I think it was the best tie-in, like little mini tie-in that they had, and it was, I enjoyed it so much that I actually did pick up Kingpin when it launched.
Okay. Yeah. How are you liking Kingpin?
It's enjoyable, but I don't know that I'm gonna keep reading it long term. I don't know.
Yeah.
Are you reading it?
I love it so far.
Do you? Yeah, I've read the first two issues. I mean, I think it's really interesting and I'm enjoying it, but I am trying to cut back too, and it's a little easier to cut back a Kingpin kind of standalone title than it might be some other.
Yeah, books. You know, I've been buying it off the shelf, debating whether I want to add it to my pull list or not because I'm enjoying it, but it's not a character I would typically jump into.
Yeah, I wouldn't have bought it if it hadn't been that it was the same writer of the three issue mini that I thought was great.
Now he's also writing Rocket Raccoon, which I don't know if you read any of that, but
I haven't.
It's really good.
That's one thing that I haven't gotten into is kind of like the space stuff. I know that you and Ronnie had talked before about, and I can't remember what that event was even called back with Nova and Guardians of the Galaxy and stuff years ago with Abnett and Lanning.
Oh, the Guardians of the Galaxy run? I know. Are you talking about Annihilation?
Yeah. Yep. So I've never read any of that stuff. One of these days I'm going to have to pick up some trades.
I'm not even a big Guardians of the Galaxy fan, with the exception that Warlock, other than Starlin in the 90s, like he was a member of Abnett and Lanning's Guardian of the Galaxy run.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a really good story. And Annihilation Conquest was the event that sort of tied to it was great also. That's a lot of reading though, so you got to set aside some time.
One of these days.
But I'm not at all a Rocket Raccoon fan. So the only reason I read Rosenberg stuff was because I read Four Kids Walk Into a Bank.
Oh, did he do that?
Yeah, for Black Mask,
huh?
Which was it was sort of one of those titles where, like, I mean, it really stood out to me. Like, this is different. I'm not reading anything else like this. It's super interesting. The only problem with it was, as is with a lot of independent titles, is the release schedule was horrible. And it got to where it was coming out. I mean, I think the first two or three issues came out, and then you didn't see it again for a few months. And I just, that drives me nuts. After a while, I just lose interest. But I started reading Rocket Raccoon solely because I enjoyed that Black Mass title so much. And Rocket Raccoon, man, it was clever. It's witty. It's like it's how Rocket Raccoon should be written if you're going to do a title like that. So
that's interesting. Now, is that the one that's been running, or is it the new one?
That's the new one, I guess. Well, he did.
The new one's not coming yet, right? Not out yet.
I'm talking about the run that's going on right now. I think it's on like issue 5 or something. But I think he wrote Rocket Raccoon before that. I don't have it up in front of me, but I believe he did write Rocket Raccoon before that. I don't remember to what.
Yeah, no, I couldn't remember because I think that in the new previews, I think it's relaunching with another number one.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So I'm glad we're talking comics because we've talked so much movies and TV. The last few episodes, and there is some like
a lot to add for movies. I have nothing to add for TV because I haven't watched.
No,
I don't think just about anything for the last show that I watched for Marvel would have been the second season of Daredevil.
Okay,
I haven't seen Luke Cage or Iron Fist.
Well, there's so much news coming out that I do want to touch on a few things, but since we like jump so heavy into comics, I feel like we could probably just stay here for a little bit longer.
Oh, okay.
Since we haven't had that in a while. But so let me ask you this, because I was going to ask Ronnie, what are your favorite current Marvel titles right now?
If currently, you had
the top of your list, what would you say?
Very, very top of the list. I'm going to say that I'm going to name a few.
Go for it.
Old Man Logan and Mighty Thor are still constantly two of my favorite titles every single month.
Yeah.
We'll see how Old Man Logan is when the year leaves and you know how the tone is. But right now, I mean, I know that not everyone is loving it, but I think it's absolutely amazing. It's one of the best books out there.
Yeah.
And obviously Mighty Thor as well. I also really love Ms. Marvel. I think that Willow Wilson just does a fabulous job in terms of she created a great character, not just a costume or a set of powers, but a complete, well-rounded character that I think is very compelling, whether she's in the costume or just in terms of her interactions with her family and friends as a civilian.
Right.
Absolutely love that. And then the other one that I'll mention again is just the Jennifer Walters Hulk. That one just started, but I really am liking what they're doing with this. I can't remember the name of the woman who's doing it, but she's also doing the Supergirl being super 4-issue mini on DC.
Okay.
And that by far, and Mike Myers agrees with this. I think Daryl agrees with this. I think anyone would agree that mini is 10 times better than the ongoing Supergirl title that they're publishing.
Huh.
I wish that was actually the Supergirl
that's funny.
Title rather than what they've been publishing.
Yeah.
And so she's really quite a writer.
That's not to go off topic, but that's the problem. That's another problem for somebody like me watching, trying to read DC is that I'm only going to hit those big titles. So I the only ones I started off with were Batman, Superman, Flash, and Wonder Woman.
Mm-hmm.
And I dropped Flash and I dropped Batman. I love Superman. And Wonder Woman is sort of up and down, so I'm not sure on it.
Yeah,
but those titles you're talking about, it's just unlikely that me not being a hardcore DC fan would even try them.
Right.
Unless somebody was just, people were just really recommending it.
Yeah, and that's all you were hearing.
Yeah.
Now, what about you? What are some of your favorites?
So you mentioned Mighty Thor. I thought you were going to say Unworthy Thor. Did you read it?
I haven't read the last issue yet, so don't spoil it.
Okay.
But I've been reading it.
Did you like it?
Oh yeah. Okay. That's great.
Because they're both written by Jason Aaron, and that's definitely one of my favorite titles, even though it was just 5 issues.
Yeah, but you got to believe that they're gonna be relaunching something with him as well, right?
Oh yeah. Well, they are. It's well, I can't spoil it, but at the end of the last issue, they give you a preview of something coming up.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, that was great. I love the whole cosmic. I love the way Jason Aaron was writing sort of that cosmic story. Mm-hmm. I want to see more of him doing that. Man, I'd love to see him write Thanos.
Oh yeah. I mean, he's just so good. Doesn't make a difference even what he's writing.
Right. Yeah. Have you read?
So what else are you liking?
Have you read Thanos?
No, I haven't read it at all.
It's good. It's worth a read. I mean, it's sort of been hit. It's sort of like Wonder Woman to me. Like, it's not as confusing as Wonder Woman, but it's issue to issue. It's sort of hit or miss. Like, I'll love it one issue, and then the other one, I'm sort of like, this seems sort of insignificant.
Yeah.
I love all the Charles Soule stuff. I know you said you didn't like, I think he started with, I think it was just named Inhuman. That was a couple years ago, but then it transitioned into Uncanny Inhumans. But what I really love that he's doing is Daredevil. Are you reading that?
I have to say I really didn't. I didn't love it.
Oh, did you read past the first arc?
I read into the second one. I don't remember what was happening in the last book that I read. But yes, I did read past that ten fingers.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Yeah, because I think the rub on it was sort of, at least what I keep hearing is that people did not like the first arc, but really got into it after that. And that was the case for me. But I'm also a big Daredevil fan.
Let's see what else. Yeah, I've been up and down on Daredevil historically, but yeah, I don't know. I just, for whatever reason, it just didn't click with me. But I mean, I've heard a lot of people that have really liked it.
Yeah. And I already mentioned Matthew Rosenberg's stuff. I'm really enjoying his stuff so far. I wish they'd put him on a more flagship character book. Nick Spencer, man, I can't get into him either. And so I'm a little bit hesitant to go into Secret Empire.
Yeah, it's funny because, you know, that's obviously one of the things I was listening to the four of you guys discuss. But, you know, I got to say, I've been enjoying his Captain America stuff. And then pre-52, he did some Supergirl, and I thought that was really well done as well. So I've really liked Nick Spencer. He hasn't bothered me at all. And being a big Captain America fan, I'm just interested to see how he resolves this.
Yeah.
This whole thing.
How about Bendis's Spider-Man?
Yeah, I like it. I've liked it more in the past. The past few issues, I just haven't cared as much about. They did a whole, like, I don't know how many issue crossover with Spider-Gwen.
Right.
I don't read Spider-Gwen. And I wasn't going to just pick it up just for this. So I really have had no idea what they've been doing the past, like, two issues.
Okay. You thought it was hard to follow?
It was referencing whatever happened in the previous issue of Spider-Gwen. So yeah. I kind of was breezing through it just so I could, you know, we can get past the story arc and get back to, you know, but I had been enjoying it up until this story arc.
Yeah, I have too. And I feel like Miles Morales is sort of feels to me like what I expect out of Peter Parker, even though Peter Parker's now all grown up and owns, you know, he's a millionaire and he has a family, and which seems out of character for me. Like, I feel like this is should be Amazing Spider-Man.
Right. Right. Exactly. The one thing now here's something I can nitpick about with Marvel is did you read issue 25 of Spider-Man, of Amazing Spider-Man? My only issue with it was not that it was $10, because it's basically three issues worth of story, which means it's basically $2 cheaper than if you'd bought three different issues.
Right.
But if you're going to put something together that's literally like 75 pages long, they need to put some decent cover stock on those covers. The cover is the exact same cover as the interior pages, which is something they've done now for years. They stopped using, you know, a little bit thicker cover stock for their covers, and they just went with the same type of paper.
They do go with the heavier stock, though, like at least on their event books. If it's if it's not a $3.99 book, it's usually got at least more content or better cover stock or something.
Well, that was my deal. Is that I mean, I was literally like, not that I think that these are going to be worth so much. I don't want my comic book to get root, like, to the, get ripped and stuff as I'm reading it. Yeah. And it's so heavy and thick that I had to be so careful turning, you know, the cover and start starting in on the book because the paper is so flimsy. Yeah. Like, you would think for a $10 book that's holding that many pages, you know, stick some, like, stick some Valiant type, you know, cover stock on that.
Yeah, that's unusual.
Yeah. But that's it. I mean, it was a good, it was a, some good stories were in there. I definitely, are you reading Amazing Spider-Man or not?
I was reading it. I'm behind though.
Oh, gotcha.
So yeah, I you know, man, it. I had a, I'm not, Dan Slott is another one. He's sort of like Nick Spencer, man. I just, I have a hard time getting into his stuff.
Yeah. It's not, I mean,
like I still read Silver Surfer because I've always been a Silver Surfer fan since the 90s.
Yeah.
But I don't, and I liked what he did at first. I liked the concept, making it a little bit more playful and, introducing, I'm drawing a blank, but the, his girlfriend now with the polka dots,
for which?
For Silver Surfer.
Oh yeah. I don't know. I haven't read that one.
Anyways, he lightened up the whole, Silver Surfer has always been sort of a melancholy, very emotionless character.
Oh yeah. Absolutely.
He made it a lot more playful. He gave her this girlfriend that's real bubbly and you know, always wanting to do all these exciting adventures. And she's, you know, teaching him American culture that he doesn't understand because he's been out in space his whole life. so it's sort of a neat twist on it. But, like, after that sort of wore off, it sort of was like, okay, this is just, like, too playful for me.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I can see that.
I have a hard time reading Dan Slott in
Well, you know, my thing
runs.
Is with Spider-Man is that, you know, like a lot of people, you know, Spider-Man is one of my favorite Marvel characters.
Yeah,
and if you're going to read too. Peter Parker, you got to read Dan Slott because he's been writing it for 150 years.
And it doesn't seem like it's going to change.
And it doesn't seem like every single time, right? I mean, they have how many? Think about how many shakeups.
Right.
And I'm not saying that they're getting rid of writers or anything like that, but that, you know, people get tired of writing whatever they want to, like Bendis, you know, they move him from here to there or whatever because he wants to try different things. The one constant over the past like 10 plus years, it's been Dan Slott is always on Spider-Man, no matter what else is happening with the Marvel Universe.
Right. And so I'm not too married to Spider-Man as a character, so I
loved him from the from the old, like when I was a kid on up. So
right, yeah, and so I've had no problem just sort of transitioning to Miles Morales. I liked it a little bit more, so I just kept reading it, which like to Ronnie would probably be blasphemy because he's a big Spider-Man fan also.
Spider-Man's great.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean I'm still very bitter that, you know, he's not married to Mary Jane, but what can you do? I wanna keep reading Spider-Man, so
yeah. Cool, man. Hey, so you said you weren't into the Marvel DC shows, but do you follow the movies at all?
I've watched most of the movies. I think the only movie so far that I haven't seen, I'm trying to think. Is probably the second Thor movie. I don't think I've seen that yet.
Oh.
Dark World, is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely have not seen that.
Have you seen the Ragnarok trailer, which just came out?
Did it just come out
yesterday or maybe the day before?
I think it came out yesterday.
Yeah.
I have not seen it, but I saw that Hulk is wearing like a gladiator hat or something.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that looks like it's going to be cool.
It looked amazing to me. At this point, there's always going to be people who are critical of something when it comes to Marvel or DC. But I thought the trailer looked awesome. Somebody on Slack was saying it looked a little bit like Guardians of the Galaxy because it's not set on Earth and there's alien races. But
Guardians of the Galaxy was great, but that's just
so the. What happens in the trailer is what you can derive from it is that Thor is sort of exiled from Asgard to another planet. And if you're, did you read Planet Hulk?
No,
you didn't read Planet Hulk.
I know what it's about though.
Okay, so if you're a Marvel fan and you've read those stories, you immediately in the trailer, he ends up in sort of a gladiator ring, and he's forced to fight somebody. And when the person comes out that he's supposed to fight, it winds up being the Hulk. And then Thor is all like, he's all excited because he's like, wait a second, I'm not going to fight this guy. I know him. We can work together to get out of this situation. But Hulk ends up, we don't know why, but ends up fighting him anyways. But as soon as you see Hulk in that sort of gladiator arena, you think, okay, this is Planet Hulk.
Right.
Which there is some tie, Ragnarok has some tie into Planet Hulk. We don't know to what extent.
That sounds really cool.
Yeah, it looks awesome. What else has happened? There's been a lot of Guardians of the Galaxy casting stuff. I don't know if you followed any of that.
No. Now, isn't that coming out soon though?
Guardians of the Galaxy is. Guardians of the Galaxy release date is May 5th, so less than a month.
Less than a month, yeah.
Right, but you know, James Gunn, he's very tight-lipped. Like, he does not give out details about movies unless he wants to.
Oh, gotcha, okay. So that's why we're just hearing some of the casting stuff now?
Right. Gotcha. Yeah, so the two... Well, here's the thing. We found out that Sylvester Stallone is going to be in it. And Michael Rosenbaum, who was, if I remember correctly, in Smallville. I don't know if you watched Smallville.
Right. Was he like Lex Luthor or something?
I don't remember.
I never watched Smallville, but I think that's right.
But both of them were cast in Guardians of the Galaxy 2, but we don't know who... We don't know what characters they're playing yet, so there's been a lot of speculation about who they'll play. The main thing I keep seeing is that one of them could be Nova, or they could both be like members of the Nova Corps, like before they were wiped out. My hope. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that would be interesting.
Yeah, my hope though is now. Did you read Starlin stuff in the 90s?
I read the Infinity stuff.
Infinity Gauntlet.
All that, you know. So Infinity War, Infinity Gauntlet.
Is what the movie's supposed to be based off, or at least loosely based off of. And Warlock was like the main character in that.
Yeah.
So my hope is that Rosenbaum will be Warlock.
Oh my God. If you see him on screen, you're going to be like screaming.
Oh yeah, for sure. But on the flip side of it, if they write him out of the story, out of the movie, I'm going to be pissed.
Yeah, I know.
And I heard that if Rosenbaum was Warlock, then Stallone could be potentially the High Evolutionary, since he's an older character.
Yeah.
Which that would tie into sort of Warlock's origin, which would make a lot of sense. But again, that's just total speculation. So.
That's cool.
So we'll see, but I'm glad to see that there's at least potential there still.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And speaking of Infinity War, the Ragnarok trailer has I'm drawing a blank in, but the main villain, I have to look this up before I botch it. Hela.
Oh yeah. She looks great, doesn't she?
Yeah, she looks awesome in the trailer. I don't know if you've seen. Haven't seen it.
Mm-mm.
But there's in the Infinity Gauntlet, Thanos' whole purpose for destroying the universe, which is what leads into the whole story, is that he was trying to please Death.
Yeah.
By destroying, he falls in love with Death and he wants to win her over, so he does that by just killing everything. And so that's another rumor that Hela could be potentially fill in that role as Death leading up to Infinity War.
That could make sense.
Yeah, so a lot of potential tie-ins. Maybe they'll all be wrong.
Very soon.
Yeah. Speaking of Spider-Man, one other thing I wanted to mention was there's potential solo Venom movie coming out in 2018. And actually, this might not even be... This might be actually in the works already. I mean, or at least already in production.
I heard about this. In terms of just seeing a headline, I didn't read all through it, but yeah, I heard that they're looking at doing that.
Are you a Venom fan?
I do. I think Venom's one of the few huge like villains that have, you know, come out in the past. What I guess now it's like probably 30 years, but you know, when you think about the biggest villains, they're usually for Marvel. They're usually, you know, created right in the 60s, and you know, Venom is one that right. just became insanely popular and wasn't a flash in the pan.
Yeah.
So yeah, that would be if done well, that would be a really interesting story.
Yeah, and so they're saying that the genre will be horror, like it's going to be dark and creepy.
That's even more interesting, man.
Right. Yeah.
That would be great.
Yeah, and I think they have to start. I mean, they got to start, you know, mixing stuff up. Like Doctor Strange sort of went in a different direction. I think Deadpool was wildly successful because it was something unlike any other superhero movie. With the genre that it sort of, you know, filled. So I think that would be cool. The thing is, though, here's what people are wondering about. Is it going to be a standalone movie? Because, you know, it's going to be done by Sony. Right. And there's still all the issues with MCU rights. And Spider-Man is sort of, you know, bridging that to some extent. But
yes.
I guess the question is, do we want to see, would you as a Spider-Man fan even want to see Spider-Man and the MCU connected to that? Or would you think it would be better as a standalone? Or are you like, cool, the Venom movie?
Venom? I would definitely be cool with Spider-Man, you know, having a through connection between MCU and the, you know, the Sony pictures. But I think that they could definitely do a good Venom story without having to get to incorporate everything that has gone on, you know, in the MCU. I think if they had a nice standalone story to start out with, I think that could be very interesting.
Yeah.
No, I mean, the biggest thing obviously is going to be the story, the script, like what type of story are they telling?
Mm-hmm.
But I could definitely see something very interesting, especially if they did go kind of dark and like with a horror type feel.
Right.
I think that would be very interesting. I don't think it necessarily would need to have any of those ties.
Yeah.
But what do you think?
I don't know, man. I think at this point they just need good movies.
Mm-hmm.
I think if there was a connection to Spider-Man, it would draw more interest, but it's going to be like, like with Iron Fist, for example, as soon as something flops, it's like all the stuff you did before is like irrelevant, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So like
time, Venom, you know, it's going to be a Sony picture. It's not going to be
right. Yeah.
An MCU proper picture too. So they can kind of
brush it off.
You brush that as, you know, a reason if it doesn't do as well.
Give it that's
just like, you know, Fantastic Four.
Yeah, give it the Fantastic Four treatment. Like, we don't know who those guys are. Yeah. They don't even exist in our universe.
Yeah.
Well, cool, man. Did you have anything else you wanted to hit on?
No, I think that's about it. You know, the only thing that I was going to mention, I'm sure you heard and saw the controversy about the X-Men Gold artist.
Oh, right.
That was I was explaining that to my wife that was kind of crazy how that, you know, that was all done. And, you know, I guess I just don't understand the thinking for that, because, you know, eventually somebody is going to see what it is and know what it means.
Now, just in case, because there's probably people listening that aren't familiar. Now, he's. Refresh again, like he snuck political messages into the comic.
I don't want to like misstate, because I'm certainly not familiar with any of it, but from what I understand, that he stuck abbreviations either by letter and number or what have you, that from different parts of the Quran.
Right.
But they're, from what I understand, and again, I'm by no means an expert, so you know, I hopefully I'm not getting this too wrong, but basically, from what I understand, these are passages that traditionally more hardline,
jihad type.
Yes, they will. Thank you. That's exactly what I was trying to say. That will use, you know, in terms of just their arguments.
Yeah.
So, from what I understand, one of them was something about like don't accept to the extent of something like do not accept a Christian or Jewish leader or something like that. And that's on the panel.
Yeah.
Where Kitty Pryde is addressing the entire team. For those that don't know, Kitty Pryde is Jewish. So, you know, is that a coincidence? I'm sure it's not. And I mean, he's come right out now and said that his career is over.
Right.
We don't know if it's because Marvel has told him he's off or if he's just saying, well, I understand what I've put out there and now I know my career is over. I don't know which way it is, but it's certainly, I just don't understand the thinking. Like, why would you, I mean,
right.
Obviously everyone's entitled to think whatever they want, but you know that this is going to come out. And then I even feel like whether it's G. Willow Wilson or what's his name? Mahmoud Azrar, I think his name is, you know, they feel beholden now to put something on Twitter, you know, just because they're Muslim, to kind of, you know, distance themselves from that. They shouldn't even have to be in that position.
Yeah.
Because, you know, this guy decides on his own to slip these in.
But sure.
I thought that was very interesting that it went all the way through, because honestly, you know, the average American probably would have no idea what any of those meant. They would have thought it's just random, you know, graffiti on, I think it was on a highway at one point, and then Colossus was wearing a shirt with letters and numbers on it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I haven't thought a whole lot about it, but my initial reaction is that it sort of fuels the wrong fire. Like, I don't know what his intentions were, but if his intentions were good, then I don't think it accomplished what he would want it to accomplish, because anybody who had a sort of axe to grind against Muslims now is going to, you know, twist that knife a little bit more, and it's going to make everybody who's Muslim and sort of a victim of that like racism or prejudice or whatever, it's going to make them have to sort of distance themselves or you know, it just makes their fight even harder. But
and that's what I was saying, thinking too, is that, you know, I don't think that the average, you know, Muslim person, especially, you know, like in the United States or what have you, especially in this day and age, need any more obstacles in front of them. Like they certainly don't need, you know, anyone creating more obstacles for them.
Right.
So, you know, it's just,
they need the opposite. They need people putting a picture of, you know, the peaceful side of the religion.
Exactly.
But again, I haven't read a whole lot of this, so maybe I'm speculating too much.
No, I mean, I think you get it from what, you know, I honestly, like I said, I'm not by no means an expert, but I, you know, read a couple of the articles when it first was talked about, and then his Marvel's reaction and his little clip and, you know, his little quote. And, you know, I think it sounds like you have it pretty much on point.
Yeah. Well, cool, man. Nice to end on a low note. Just kidding. I'm kidding.
Well, thank you very, very much for,
yeah, man. Thanks for jumping on.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Thanks for, filling Ronnie's role, since he's too slack to be on his own podcast.
I know. What the hell?
What's your,
work stuff?
Yeah, exactly. What's your Twitter handle if people want to reach out to you?
Yeah, it's just Rob Krieger, KryGier. And we do the Geek Brunch Retrocast twice a month. And so you can see that on the Geek Brunch feed.
Cool. And I'm Jack Sutherland, at Jack Sutherland on Twitter. The show is Ultimate Marvel Pod, and if you have any complaints, you could send them to RonBar316, which is that's our complaint hotline when Ronnie's not on the show.
Exactly. He'll be able to address all those and give you your refund.
Yep.
Thanks very much, Jack. I appreciate it.
Welcome to the Ultimate Marvel Podcast episode. This is episode 13.
I'm on the mic for the players.
Yeah, we cover older books.
Yeah, like it's like really bad static now.
You're kidding me.
Like I can't hear anything.
You know what? Let me try unplugging and I'll plug back in.